All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Mean Green Nation podcast. It is me.
It is I,
your friendly neighborhood host, Adam. We are without Greg today. He has, he's dealing with family issues right now. So keep him in your thoughts and your prayers if you do that kind of thing. I don't know when he'll be back, but he'll eventually be back. And you can talk about it, what's going on. And we'll get back to talking football with him. As of right now, I'm going to talk some North Texas football and some North Texas soccer. Because, arguably the biggest game of the weekend is the soccer game. It's a championship game. I know football kind of means everything to the program, probably to, to the entire athletic department, but the whole reason the stated reason why football gets all the perks is so that way programs like soccer can go do their thing. Anyway, championship game today, Rice against good old UNT on Fox Sports Southwest. I think it's in Charlotte. I think it's where the tournament's taking place. Now, you might remember earlier in the year, it was like a few weeks ago, that Rice played North Texas. We played there in Houston, and I don't know if you remember, but there was an incident. So what happened was the North Texas coach kicked the ball. From what I saw, he just kicked the ball kind of just out to the side as the ball was rolling toward him. That is not exactly how the announcer person. I don't even know what to call him because I think he's like a. It's one of those things where like he's like a volunteer. He's not really a pro announcer. He's just a dude that volunteers to do that on the webcast. Anyway, so he was calling the play, and he took super offense to that, and this is what he said. Every time I hear that, it makes me chuckle. You prick. Anyway, so there's kind of some bad blood there. I think I found this guy's name on Twitter, but I really don't care. I don't know if he got disciplined for it or anything like that happened. I just think it's hilarious. So, it's good. You know, often you see, like, women's soccer, and I don't want to speak for anybody else, but I want to say that it's kind of like, people just approach it differently than they do other sports. They don't have like the same kind of, like sports hate for these teams. And I think that's kind of doing a disservice to them. I mean, again, I don't want to speak for everybody. I know there's some people that kind of get up for these games. Anyway, you should get up for this game. It's at 1 p.m. today. Today's Sunday. I feel like I'm doing a car commercial. Today's Sunday. Anyway, yeah, today, 1 p.m., Fox Sports Southwest. I will be watching. I'll be tweeting. By the time you're listening to this, likely, the game is on. So I guess I won't go too much into it other than to say that, if you're kind of wondering what kind of soccer we play, maybe you haven't seen the team play, we kind of do some counterattacking. We have a really solid defense. Jackie Karasteen is a baller in goal, and pretty much our whole defensive line is pretty solid. We get our fullbacks forward. We try to get the ball to the wings where we have, really fast players. Marshall Davis is fast. Carlos Pineda is fast. So we get the ball up to our attackers, and we quickly counterattack, score goals. Although recently we've been scoring goals like on set pieces. So and we have the talent to do that. Jackie Moreau is she can get up there and head the ball in, and she has been doing that. I think Carla Pineda has been assisting. She's been lofting in the corners, and they've been scoring on them, so it's pretty great. It seems pretty simple, but you really like those set piece kind of things. They win games. I mean, that's exactly what happened in this game against Middle Tennessee. I went to the UTSA game a few weeks back. And that's how they scored. They started out the game, put UTSA on the back foot, and then, you know, had the game play right into our strength, which is our defense. I think UTSA in that game had more shots on goal, but it was all for naught. I mean, a lot of them were long shots. So that's pretty much what's going to happen here. Against Rice, I'm not too familiar with the way Rice plays, but it's kind of the same thing. I don't expect to dominate possession, but I expect that North Texas will get the more quality of the shots, the greater share of the quality shots. So anyway, there you go. I don't know how. For the most part, I think the North Texan fan is pretty decently well versed in soccer. I think a lot of that has to do with FC Dallas being there and people kind of getting a taste, especially if you're listening to The Ticket and Bob, he likes him some soccer. But yeah, Rachel Holden's a baller. Marshall Davis is fast. Carla Pineda is a baller. You're watching closely. She might do some people in. Every time I watch her and play, she's doing some people in, and it's great. So there you go. Good stuff. I'm looking forward to the game. Championship game there in Charlotte. Should be good. Should be good times. Speaking of good times, how about that North Texas win? 31-10 over Florida Atlantic. I was going to joke and call them Mighty Florida Atlantic, but, I mean, you know, they pretty much have the same record as we do. They're now 3-7. We were, 2-6, and so same record coming in. I don't want to say kind of same situation, but they have a much better quarterback situation going on. Quez Johnson, Jaquez Johnson. I've seen him play a couple times. I watched him in the game that FAU came back and beat UTSA in, and he was pretty amazing. And we saw some flashes of that in yesterday's game. He was able to evade some tackles, make a play down the field. He's not super accurate, and that is kind of what held them back in some cases. North Texas defense played outstandingly well in certain aspects, but they left some guys open, and it looks like Quez Johnson just couldn't hit them in some cases. And so what does that mean? I mean, for this game, doesn't mean too much. For next year, FAU has slowly been getting better, and so they should be kind of like what UTEP is going to be next week, where there's a team that we handle comfortably, but then get out here and, turns out they're going to be pretty good this week. That's the way Conference USA go, I guess. So yeah, coming into the game, I'm looking at the stats from Greg's breakdown, and he pretty much laid it all out there. I know this was like, we tweeted this, we did it late. A lot of weird stuff going on this week, just because we're both pretty busy. I think he's more seriously busy than I am. But busy nonetheless. So yeah, a lot of similarities. We're pretty much the same team, statistically speaking, outside of the last three games, which I think was a great stat. Great stat, Greg. Last three games, we've obviously not scored very many points, only 20 points per game. And FAU scored 29, including playing against, Conference USA favorite Marshall, and giving them a run. They only scored, only scored 16 in that game, but they held Marshall to 35 points, which is, like, you know, about 7-8 points below their average. And you look at Marshall, they went out and scored 63 yesterday. So what does that mean? Well, I was expecting a much tougher game in this one. I thought that FAU was going to D us up, and our defense was going to allow some of those scary points. I mean, Jaquez Johnson, he's thrown for 14 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions. So I'm like, he's going to make plays. They're going to score enough, and we're not going to be able to score, and we're going to lose this game. Or if it's close, Jaquez Johnson's going to, work his way down the field because he's a playmaker. That was my fear. Obviously, that didn't happen. The run game, pretty much the story of the game, was dominant. Now, you look at the stats, and they say we ran for 235 yards, which is, you give a little golf clap there. That's pretty good. It's a pretty solid day. It's nothing like Wisconsin-esque It's not 350 yards, not something great like that. And you're going to hear people talking like we ran like that. We didn't. We had a really good rushing day. This is pretty, like, for a team that says, that, you know, a self-styled rushing team, this is a pretty solid day. It's pretty normal. I dare say this should be somewhere near our average. Instead, our average is somewhere around 149 yards. Now, obviously, that's changed with this game here. A lot of people tweeting on... people tweeting about the soccer game, which is good. I like to see that. Okay, so, yeah. 235 yards rushing is about where we should be. And I think we're somewhere at like 4.5 yards a carry. That's great. That's solid stuff there. Now, what concerns me and concerns a couple other people, including parents of receivers on the team, was the fact that we didn't really open up the offense. We didn't take advantage of the game. And I kind of mentioned this is really similar to what happened against SMU. When we beat SMU pretty much doing what we could, like the very minimum of our abilities. We're running the ball all the time, left, right, and center, and not really taking advantage of the offense. We're working on the offense game. And, you know, we all know that that has been the problem, the passing game. And so I, like most other people out there, think that, you know, we have to take advantage of the times that we have to get game experience, game passing. Now, compounding the problem there, yeah, or making it more complex, is the fact that Andrew McNulty is, you know, he's not really going to be the starter long term. We have a guy that's, we kind of know what he can do, you know, and I think, you know, he's a junior. I don't know if he's going to start next year. I think everybody thinks that this is going to be an open competition in the fall and spring and, you know, in the off season. I said fall. So why not show what you can do right now out there in the game? Why not throw more passes down the field? Why not throw more than 16? Was it 16 passes? Yeah. He went 12 of 16 for 107 yards, a touchdown, an interception, but then he ran for one. I saw someone say, and I don't know if they're being sarcastic, this was another great mini-Mac performance. I think they're being sarcastic. Yeah, it was. It's exactly the type of Hall of Fame bus driving performance that coach wants. Yeah. I don't think that we can win Conference USA with quarterback play at that level. And I've kind of said this. I think I compared Andrew McNulty and Dajon Williams and, you know, the two most successful quarterbacks that we've had this season. And they're roughly similar, although Dajon Williams has more touchdown passes. But he also gives you more turnovers. I don't know. In this one, Andrew McNulty did throw an interception, and it was a very Andrew McNulty-like interception. Whereas Dajon Williams will throw bad, like he'll try to fit the ball in places where he shouldn't. Andrew McNulty will float the ball, and the defensive back will make a play on it. That's pretty much, I think that in a sentence, that pretty much sums up the quarterback competition. There are like three plays, I think, that kind of illustrate the problems that everyone has with Andrew McNulty. One was the interception. The second was his very first pass, I think it was, to Darius Terrell, where he floated a 15-yard out route, and it hung in the air forever. The announcers made a comment about it. I was like, well, that's going to get picked. But it kind of fluttered into the hands of awaiting Darius Terrell for a first down. So, you know, kudos to everybody involved in that play, but you got to think that kind of thing is going to lose you some games eventually. All right, so then the next one was the interception. He floats it out there to Carlos Harris. It's behind. It's too high. It's really just a jump ball. You don't really want to get into a jump ball contest with 5'8 Carlos Harris against pretty much anybody. He's athletic, he can make plays, but that's not a position that he's gonna be successful in every time. You want Carlos Harris playing the underneath routes, making plays in open space, not running deep, was it vertical routes into the end zone, to the back of the end zone. And finally was one of those out routes, one of the little quick screen passes. It was to Carlos Harris. I forget. I think it was like in the third quarter. Same kind of situation where that North Texas found itself in often, where they'd play fake, and then to kind of keep the defense honest, they do a quick screen out to the receiver. Carlos Harris caught it, but he had to wait for the ball for like a good 3 seconds as the ball floated out there, and then he caught it at his shoelaces. He ended up making a play and got the first down, but I think that's more of a testament to Carlos Harris's ability than it is the quarterback play. I think I saw somewhere, I was watching the Washington State game they were playing Oregon State earlier in the day, and they made a comment about yak yardage and said, you know, a lot of people put yak yardage, you know, yards after catch, on the receiver, but really that's a quarterback stat. And I tend to agree, it's 50-50. If you put the ball where the receiver can make a play, then they can make a play. If you put it, if all their energy and talent is used in trying to make a spectacular catch, well, you know, that's where it's going to be. I think that was a good example of that. The ball was late. It was in an awkward position. Carlos Harris made the catch. He got the first down, but he only got 3 yards. What if he hit him in the chest and he made the catch? He could turn and, you know, and use his explosive speed to get up the field. Maybe it's more. Maybe it's only 3 yards, but I don't know. That's kind of the issue there. I mean, everybody loves Mini-Mac. You know, he's a tough kid. He's driving the bus really well, and, you know, there's something to be said for bus drivers. Still, we need some more explosiveness there. And that's one thing we've been kind of lacking past few weeks. We've been able to, like, matriculate the ball down the field, but there haven't been, like, really explosive plays. You know, it's one thing to single your way into an RBI, you know, get like 4 straight hits, but sometimes it's nice to have a home run. Finally, Antoine Jimerson broke free. He's been having quietly some really great games recently. 111 yards on 17 carries, 41-yard touchdown early in the game. And I want to say it kind of sealed it, because it kind of did. FAU was really, they were not really in this game at all. They didn't seem, I don't know how to describe it. It's not like they were like, weren't trying hard, because it seemed like they were trying hard. You know, they're trying to play defense. But I think they just were overwhelmed by the physicality of the offensive line, by the physicality of the defense. And, you know, they were chasing their guys all over the place. Maybe something had to do with some of the injuries they had. I know they had a couple running backs out. But they couldn't do anything on offense, and defensively, they could not stop our run game. I think if we had, let's say Reggie Pegram had, didn't have a surgically repaired knee, I think Reggie Pegram probably could have broke and opened for a 40-plus yard gain here or there. There were a couple of times where you could see him go to the next gear, but it wasn't the biggest jump to the next gear. I don't know if that. Hopefully that improves for him. Hopefully everything works out, because he has some talent. He's a tough runner. He had 24 carries for 89 yards and no scores. If you look at the yards per carry for everyone, I think you want to throw McNulty out, because I think he got sacked once. Jeffrey Wilson had 1 carry for 5 yards. I mean, no, there was like a handful of carries here and there. Even Dejon got a carry. But the bulk of the running came from Antoine Jimerson and Reggie Pegram. It was a little thunder and lightning type thing again. Pegram did the bulk of the thunder, and the Jimmy Show did the bulk of the lightning. Antoine Jimerson finished with 6.5 yards a carry, and Pegram with 3.7 or something like that? Let me look. Yeah, 3.7. And the thing is, it's not like they were getting significantly different types of carries. They were running like the same play. It was a power or a counter, you know, which is a distinction without a difference. I mean, counter is pretty much just going left, you know, when your strong side is on the right. But it both involves pulling linemen. It's like the same play. And that was, you know, an example of the physicality of the offensive line. They're getting out in space, hitting people, creating holes, and blowing dudes up. The touchdown Antoine Jimerson had was not a power play, but it was a like an inverted veer, which involved some pulling linemen, and it was run really well. They gave the ball to Jimerson around the end, and he basically turned on the speed and ran for the score. He held down the R2 button, as I like to say. I play PS4, or PS3 in this case. I'm not an Xbox dude. But I think clearly, my point about, the average yards per carry is that Antoine Jimerson is clearly the better running back. And I think in this game, Pegram started. It probably has to do with, pass protection and, who knows. There's a lot of variables involved in this thing. But I think as far as performance goes, Antoine Jimerson is clearly the best back on his team. And I'd like to see him get more carries. He had 17, and I know he was sick past couple games. But all things being equal, health-wise, I'd really like to see him get some more carries. I'd like to see those carries flipped. Maybe he is 24, and Reggie Pegram has 17. So, I don't know. There you go. What does that mean? I don't know. I think the future of the program is probably Jeffrey Wilson. I think, he's shown enough explosiveness to justify that thinking. But he only had a carry for 5 yards. As frustrating as it is it frustrating? I don't know. I think we're pretty much going to see this the rest of the way. There are 3 games left. Maybe one more if we get extremely lucky. Win all these 3 games, reach bowl eligibility, and, for some reason, there's a bowl somewhere that invites us out. I think we're going to see Reggie Pegram get the bulk of the carries, Antoine Jimerson get the second most carries, and then a sprinkling of the other guys, including Dejon, including Jeffrey Wilson and whatnot. I really like to see Dejon Williams come into the game and do more than just run the ball. Maybe throw the ball a couple times, maybe a whole series. I'm not the biggest fan of rotating quarterbacks. If you're playing two, you have none, that whole thing. But I think in this case, we only have 3 games left, and there's not really much to play for outside of a Hail Mary here. I don't think it's the biggest risk to anybody if we play both guys and try to increase this offense. This was a game that I think UNT could have won by a bigger margin, and they didn't. And that was largely because the offense couldn't score as frequently as they probably should have. They had, only 342 yards total. And a lot of that was a passing. 107 passing yards. You know how much FAU had? 102. And that was 99 by Jaquez Johnson and 3 by Greg Hankerson, who stepped in for him for 6 passes. I don't know. I'm kind of tired talking about the quarterback controversy, but and it was a good win. Let's focus on the positives. The defense played extremely well, I thought. They were tackling well outside of one FAU drive. I think it was on the drive where they ended up scoring their touchdown, their lone touchdown of the game in the third quarter. It was only then that we saw some missed tackles. We saw some blown assignments. Alex DeLeon, the FAU receiver, caught a deep post on Laramie Lee on 4th and 14. That was a weird play. We'll give him a pass on that. Everybody has a bad play, but that's one of those things that's been happening. Big plays down the middle, 34 yards to me is a big play. It kind of depends on what you define explosive plays as, but 20 plus yard gains are generally considered explosive plays, even in the passing game. Alex DeLeon caught a long touchdown pass. Outside of that, there was a lot of great tackling. That they were reading the play well. They were reading the game well. And I think an example of that was Kenny Byers stepping up and getting an interception. He had the deep third on that play, and Jaquez Johnson was throwing the out. It was like a flood play where they send a receiver deep to kind of, you know, stretch the field, and underneath that they do an out route, and outside of the interception, Jaquez Johnson did a good job of placing it over the top of the, like, the buzzing linebacker there who steps under, who has, like, the middle section. So in between what should have been Kenny Byers deep and I forget who it was, the linebacker short, that was the opening. That was where Jaquez Johnson was trying to drop the ball. And, you know, Kenny Byers read the play. He saw where the throw was coming, and he broke off his defensive responsibilities, stepped up, made a play. And that's the kind of thing that we need more of, I think. I think the difference between the last four games and this one is more that FAU didn't really stretch the field with the passing game. And I don't know, you know, I said I watched Jaquez Johnson play a few times, and I think, you know, you can kind of get a sense that his strengths are in running around, making a play in the intermediate range. He's not really going to launch it deep. He's not going to, you know, threaten you down the field. And neither is Lucky Whitehead. They're pretty much their best player. I think it was Jeremy Gaskins caught a bunch of passes. They were kind of short. They're like, you know, dump offs to the running back. That's pretty much where Jaquez Johnson's going to make plays. The play's going to break down. He's going to escape, find the running back, and then they're going to gain, you know, yardage. That's how they play. Why is that important? Well, you know, they're not the explosive offense that can threaten you all over the field that like the teams that we played have been. UTEP is pretty good. They can run the ball. I think they're averaging like something like 210 yards a game. So, you know, I don't know. Do they pass the ball very well? I don't know. They're pretty much going to really just, you know, test our run defense. So I don't know. I don't know if our weakness will be our weakness being our pass defense deep. I don't know if that will be threatened or that will be tested, but we'll probably see some play action passes. And if UTEP is, you know, if they're any kind of smart, they're gonna test us in the areas where we've been exposed, and that's play action and then going deep on the outsides. So we'll see. That's gonna be interesting. That's why I bring that up. So outside of that, I mean, defense played really well. Andrew McNulty was floating passes. You know, it was a pretty solid win. It's pretty run of the mill, I think. This is the kind of win I expect to get, like, by default this year. The run game's dominant. Trying to see if the offense the pass game can, you know, get some value added points, you know, some play actions deep, you know, pressures off of them. They just really need to get a crucial third down here and there, but, you know, nothing like Washington State's quarterback, was his name, Falk, throwing 61 times. No, this is kind of what I expected. I was kind of hoping for maybe, you know, 150, 189 yard day from the quarterbacks, where they do some play actions, hit a guy deep, or get on a run where they complete some passes pretty easily and allow the receivers to make plays down the field. That's what I was hoping for. This is the kind of game that I expected UAT to play pretty much all year, like as their default mode. Alas, it has not been. The good news is that I think they can do that against FIU, UTEP, and UTSA. FIU is pretty good. They have some talent, but again, they're not going to score a ton of points on anybody unless you let them. They're 3-7, 2-4 in the conference also. They just lost to Old Dominion, 35-38. You know, I think Old Dominion just scored a lot of points because, you know, FIU is not really great on defense. I saw FIU and UTSA play, and that was pretty awful of a game. And FIU, like, fumbled the ball at the end of the game to lose it. So I'm not really scared by FIU, and we play them at home. So, you know, I think I'm more scared if we play them down in Florida. So I'm not really scared of them, and I don't want to jump the gun here. I'm just saying that they don't really have the kind of team that can exploit our weaknesses so much. So I think if we could play this kind of game, physical on the offensive line, solid, hard tackling on defense, and mistake-free passing game, mistake-free quarterbacking, I think we're good. I think we could beat FIU. I'd like to see, obviously, some more explosive quarterback play, but, you know, what are you going to do? Against UTEP, that's going to be the real test. UTEP can run the ball 210 yards a game, rushing, like I said. They have Jamal Showers. He can make plays. He has talent. So I don't know if a solid run game or a solid defensive game is going to be is going to be what's going to happen here. UTEP played Western Kentucky, and I think UTEP had what did they have? Let me check it. 394 total yards. They only passed for 158, but they ran for 236. They pretty much played what we played in this in our game plus like 50 yards. Jamal Showers went 9-22 for 158 yards and an interception. He's pretty terrible on the day. How has he played all year, though? I don't even know. It looks like he's been okay. 11 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 1,300 yards, about 50% completion rate. Yeah, it's a little bit better than he was last year. He's like on the same place, same pace, I mean. He's got sacked significantly less. But he can play well. He threw for 4 touchdowns against Kansas State, and, you know, threw for 2 against Old Dominion. What am I looking at? I'm looking at last year? No, that's right. He's okay. It's a weird out of order stats they have at ESPN. Would have messed me up, ESPN. Anyway, UTEP can run the ball. Josh Bell had 18 carries, 68 yards. They have like a handful of dudes that can run the ball, and they will run the ball. And it's going to pretty much stretch our ability to defend. I think the best rushing defense in the conference is UTSA. And UTEP did a decent enough job running against UTSA that I think that gives us an idea of how, you know, like what the measure is. The difference there was that UTSA's offense is horrible. And so, you know, they didn't really have much to do. It was kind of like this game against FAU where we didn't really feel threatened. And so we were like, okay, we'll just run the ball, you know, with impunity. Okay, against UTSA, UTEP was held to only 160 yards, something like 3.5 yards a rush. They passed for 191 yards, but some of that was some big plays. But, you know, UTSA only had 70 total yards in that game. So that gives you an idea of what it takes to stop UTEP and what it takes to beat them. I can't believe I'm saying, like, what does it take to beat UTEP? But, you know, that's the deal there. UTEP crushed Southern Miss on only 234 yards total offense. That doesn't make any sense, but I guess so. Just turnovers there, I guess. It's all right. I think we can beat UTEP. We really got to stop their run game, and we got to score some points. They have a pretty solid defense, but they're nothing to be scared of. I think UTSA probably has the best defense, and it's in that game that I think it's going to be strange, because I don't think we could play the kind of game that we played today and still win it. UTSA's offense is pretty terrible, but they have the most solid central defense of anybody in Conference USA. Their two defensive tackles are pretty awesome, and they're run stuffers. And it'll be hard for anybody to get, for, you know, Pegram or Jimerson to get up the middle. And then they have, you know, Thorpe Award semifinalist, what's his name, the safety. And he's going to be flying up to make tackles. So I feel like this offensive game plan, it needs to change to win against probably UTEP and probably UTSA. So there you go. I don't know. I'm kind of hopeful that we can go out there and win a bowl game, win a bowl game invite. And I think depending on how we play, how impressive we are in this stretch, that will determine whether or not we get a miracle invite from, you know, nowhere.com bowl or something. Because I don't think with a 6-6 record and the way we played, we're that sexy. And I don't know how well we travel. I mean, the last time we went to a bowl game was like, you know, 10 years ago. So, I mean, like travel to a bowl game that was not in Dallas. So it's hard to look at trends and say, well, you know, North Texas travels well or they don't travel well. But you got to think that some of these bulls are going to be skeptical. That's it. That's talking pie in the sky there. Right now, we have a team that's improving, or they at least improved against a not as good FAU team. And like I said, I think FIU is probably in this class and FAU's class. And you have UTSA, which lost to Florida Atlantic and pretty much lost to FIU, for all intents and purposes, lost to FIU at home. So those are three teams that are two teams I think we could beat. And then you got UTEP, which is the biggest game. So next week is a huge game. That's going to be in El Paso at the Sun Bowl. So there you go. And that's it. Hopefully we'll have a full complement of Mean Green Nation peeps covering that game, talking about that game. This could be next week. I'm excited. I'm excited about that one. Basketball season's coming up. We got soccer today, looking to win a conference championship. And then hopefully go to the NCAA tournament there, and where they'll continue on doing some good things. It's a pretty solid year overall, considering the way it started. And I think with that, we'll be done. So thanks for listening to me ramble on. I know it's a little bit weird, just listening to one dude and not me and Greg battling it out. Don't forget to subscribe, MeanGreenNation.com. You can find all the information you need there. You find me on the Twitters at MeanGreenNation. You find Greg at MGN underscore breakdown. You could email the podcast to give your hot sports opinions at podcast@MeanGreenNation.com. Obviously, MeanGreenNation.com is where you can find all the stuff all together. If you have any questions about anything, just get in touch. How do I write for Mean Green Nation? Or you guys suck? Or, you know, where can I find old episodes of the podcast? Or what other podcasts do you do? That kind of stuff. That all can be found on MeanGreenNation.com. There's plenty of ways to get in contact with me. Let me know. Thanks for listening. Go Mean Green.